So if you don't know who I am, my name is Pastor Felix Wilson. I am the youth pastor here. Been youth pastor going on 7 years. We have an awesome youth program here. So if you have students that are in 6th to 12th grade, make sure you get them here on Wednesday nights because we blowing it up. We taking over Sulphur, guys. That's just how we doing. With that being said, I do want to just shout out my youth staff because they are, can't do it without a staff, with a team. So I want to shout out that youth. Yeah, y'all know that. Yeah, we got an awesome youth team. We actually had this past weekend, well, last weekend, had two of them get married, and I got to do that wedding. That was so beautiful. They're now back from their honeymoon. Shout out Anna and Patrick. Now on to the good stuff. I always told myself when I, as a youth pastor, when I have my family, when I have my wife, when I got my kids, I'm gonna be that guy. When I speak on Sunday, I'm gonna show my family. Everybody gonna see my family. So I actually have a picture of my family right now. Now I'm gonna explain before, listen, I'm about to get put in the doghouse real fast. Cause she don't even know that I put this picture. She don't even know that I did it. So let me explain what happened. Cause when we were getting ready to have Josiah, a lot of people were like, bro, being a parent's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be dope. Say goodbye to sleep. But it's gonna be so great. You're gonna really enjoy it. So this picture has a story. This was right after me getting off of work after a hard night, like no sleep that night. And so I got home and I could just tell Lyric was just, she was tired. So I was like, look, I'm gonna take Josiah and I want you to take a nap. Guess what she says? She says, I actually can't sleep that well in the daytime, so I'm not gonna take a nap. 5 minutes later, I turn around. She is knocked out on the floor. And I'm like, so much for naps. But, oh, man. Anyways, I love my family. Being a dad is the greatest thing. Anyways, I know y'all didn't come here to hear me talk about that. So let's get into the word. Before we do that, let's pray. So, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for just who you are, Lord. Father, I thank you for church. Thank you for this body. Thank you that you are getting ready to do a new thing in us, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are opening our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. Yeah, Lord, let's go after it. Lord, we love you and praise in your name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Cool. So this morning, I would like to look at two words that we hear often in church. And how they work together in our life, but these words that we commonly use, they can sometimes be overlooked. So we're going to look at faith and obedience, because it's probably not regular that you wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm gonna walk in my faith, walk out in obedience today. Like, it's not a common thing that we're just out talking about these two words, but they play such a pivotal role and our walk with Christ. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to look at these words, we're going to break them down, and we're going to understand how they apply to our life, and then I'm going to share just a little bit of my story and what God has been doing to my family and I in this whole process. So to set things up, this morning you will hear this phrase a lot. It is, you can't control what happens to you in life, but you can control how you frame it and how you respond to it. Now, in order for this phrase to really be effective, we need to understand what faith is. We know that in Hebrews, faith is described as the reality of what is hoped for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is our anchor. Listen, faith is that it is impossible to please God without faith. Faith is our anchor. That is our trust system. That is our belief system. Jesus speaks of faith that even in small quantities, the great power it holds. So faith is the key to our entire walk, our entire journey, and our relationship with Christ. Got that? Yeah? So now let's get to obedience. Now, obedience is when, that's when it gets real. That's when we take our faith and we put that into action. We actually live that out. Now, I don't know about y'all, but it's a whole lot easier to say something than it is to do something, you know? But that's what obedience is. Obedience is us taking what we believe and then putting that to action. And what I want you to understand about obedience is not God up in heaven wagging his finger at us, telling us, you need to obey and do it. Like, he's not barking orders at us. But it's him. He wants to invite us into his love, into his will that he has for us. So let's break this down a little bit. Let's break down this word obedience. So if we look at the word obedience, obedience equals submission. Obedience equals submission. So us walking in obedience is us submitting to God's word, submitting to God's spirit, to his way. Like, that's what obedience is. It's us submitting. Now, if we break it down even more, obedience equals submission equals surrendering. So surrender means to abandon yourself entirely. Abandon yourself entirely. So when we said yes, listen here. All my saved folks in here, listen. When we said yes, when we said, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life, what we did in that moment is we said, I am completely abandoning myself entirely and submitting to you wholly. So that means we die to ourselves. We die to our old way of living. We die to our old way of thinking. And we submit to this way that is much greater than ours. What does dying to yourself look like? That look like you not responding to that employee or that coworker that is giving you that hard time. That look like you not blowing up on your kids out of your flesh. You know what I'm saying? That looks, you dying to yourself is completely abandoning what you feel like you need to do in that moment or respond in that moment and submitting to what the word of God says to do in that moment or what his spirit is telling you to do in that moment. So that phrase, we can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it and respond to it. How many of you noticed whenever you made that decision to surrender your life to Christ that your life did not drastically change? That, listen, here's what I mean. Like, you still dealt with pain. There was still pain in your life. There were still hard times in your life. Maybe you were having thoughts before you got saved. I don't know what the thoughts were. You were struggling with something, and then you have that moment, you give your life, you're at the altar crying, most of it's it. I see it in youth all the time. They're, oh my God, dear Jesus, I give it. And then the next week, but anyways, that's beside the point. But when you made that moment, that decision, you realize like, yo, there's still difficult things in my life. And as followers, we will face difficult things. Everybody's going to face difficult things. In fact, in James, it tells us that count it a great opportunity when you face trials of any kind. When, capitalize when you face, meaning it's going to happen. Paul even says, he says this in Corinthians, he being Jesus comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. So it's pretty inevitable that in our life, we will face something. We don't know what that something is going to be, but we will face something. Some of y'all may be facing something right now. But in our life, we will face something, and we can't control what it is, but we can control how we choose to frame that and respond to that. So our purpose, the purpose of our faith is to trust God is the source of all hope, and the level in which we choose to trust and obey is dependent on if we completely surrender to him at all. We're all people, we say we trust God, but does your life, look at your life, does it really reflect that? Does it really reflect what your words are saying? Or do we only trust and obey God in certain situations in our lives more than others? It's easier to surrender, say, and live a surrendered life when life is good, but when hardship comes, that's when it gets a little bit more difficult. You know, as I was thinking of this, because I want to ask these questions to myself too, you know? And as I was thinking about this question, I began to think of the life of Stephen. If you don't know who Stephen is, he was brought on by the disciples to help run the food program in Acts. And what we know about Stephen is the word describes him as a man of faith and a man of the Holy Spirit. Like, he had the Spirit living in him. And his life was just a true testimony of obedience, a life of obedience. And we can see just by him, if we read and look at his life, you can see his faith in action. As he is brought to trial, he's put on trial for doing what, you know, the disciples, what Jesus has asked them to do, go make disciples, go preach the gospel. So he's preaching the gospel. He gets arrested, gets put on trial. Guess what he does on trial? Preaches the gospel. That obedience that he took in that moment cost him the ultimate act. It was the ultimate act of obedience. He ended up losing his life for what the Lord has called him to do. And it's so crazy that even in his most trying time, his faith was solidified and it never wavered, because he was committed, he was surrendered to what he was supposed to do. Right? So I begin to ask myself this, like, is my faith wholly in God or just mostly in God? Like, to what level am I willing to walk in obedience? To what level are you willing to walk in obedience? So I have this ladder up here, just to kind of, is a little small illustration. The top of this ladder is the ultimate act of obedience. That is us, like Stephen, surrendering our life, like literally giving your life for this thing. And at this bottom, depending on, I guess, your life and what you consider a lower level of walking in obedience, some of it may be finances, different things like that or whatever, but at what level are you willing to say to just jump ship on this thing? Because I've seen it in ministry. I've walked with students in ministry where they are going after God. My faith is solidified. I'm going after Christ. And then they have hardship come. And they jump ship. My boyfriend broke up with me, oh God. But then, you know, you get a little bit higher and it's like, man, you know what? I actually lost somebody in my life that I depended on. Like, I just lost my grandmother, whatever, mother, whatever. And at those moments, that began to shake our faith, you know? And it began to make us question and wonder. So at what level are we willing to continue to walk in obedience? Are we willing to go, when we say we surrender to God, are we committed to all the way to the end? or there's some points in our life where when something hard comes, and I don't know what level of stuff that y'all have dealt with. Some of us may have not dealt with something that crazy hard, but at what level are you willing to continue to walk in obedience? Because I look at the situation that was happening in Afghanistan. Man, they paid the ultimate price of obedience. And that really put it into perspective for me. It's like, yo, where is my, am I willing to go that far for my faith? Like, I say I love Jesus, and I'm singing all these songs. Thank you, God, like, oh, whatever it is. But am I truly believing what I'm singing and all these different things? So just to get into a little bit of why this message has been on my, it's been on my heart for almost a year, but about 2.5, maybe going on 3 years ago, right before Lyric and I got engaged, I started having some health issues dealing with my digestive tract. So I went to the doctor and, you know, come to find out I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And what this disease did is it was a complete lifestyle change for me and for us. I was constantly in pain. I was always tired. I struggled a lot with my appetite. And this completely rattled me because I just got engaged. This completely rattled me. I was 24 at the time. There's been three great desires that I've had in life. And one of those desires is like, I can't wait to be a husband. Can't wait to be a father. And the third one, don't laugh at me, but I wanted to be a rapper. But a youth pastor is just as good. Youth pastor is just as good. So, but those are like the big things that I had in my life, the greatest desires I had in my life. But what was not in the cards was being diagnosed with Crohn's disease. So that really rattled me. It shook me. You know, we started to get it under control, and then this last November, I ended up having the worst flare-up I've ever had, and it lasted about 6 months, causing me to lose about 60 pounds. Overall, since I was diagnosed, I lost 100 pounds, which this completely, I wrestled with that for a long time because my identity growing up, I tell people, when I was born 200 pounds. I've just always been a bigger guy. And I thrived on it. I was like, you know, I'm a big guy. Like, that's just who I am. You call me when you want to move furniture because I get stuff done. So as I started, you know, dropping this weight and all these different things, not only was I struggling in my identity, but I began to just struggle in my in faith. And I remember just being angry with God, because I'm like, look, man, I have been committed to you. I gave my life to you my junior year of high school, and I have been fully committed to you this whole time. I've surrendered everything. When I graduated high school, I had the opportunity to go play college football at Southern University. I gave that up. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do what God has called me to do. And I ended up going to live in the wilderness for 9 months, but because that's what he called me to do. I went and worked at this place called Camp Eagle and did the discipleship program out there and all that. Took some Bible classes, but I was like, Lord, I'm committed to you. I'm going after you. I'm obedient to your word. Like I was in his word all the time, just in it. And that was such a wrestle for me because I'm like, why am I here right now facing this situation? Facing this disease. That's like, where did it even come from? Like, it really rattled me. So when I say you can't control what happens to you, but you can't control how you frame it and respond to it, that's when it got real. It got really real. And I know the word says Jesus has purchased our healing, and I believe that. He has purchased our healing, so we have healing. And we can stand on his promises. And I know God didn't give me Crohn's, because that's not who he is. And as I begin to seek God in this moment, he began to reveal that this trial that I'm facing, it's going to be pivotal. This, what I was going through, what I'm going through, is going to be pivotal for the Wilson legacy. And by us, by what Lyric and I, what we stand, when we stand in faith and our obedience, the way we choose to view this thing, the way we choose to respond to this thing, is going to be completely pivotal for Josiah's life. So our children are going to know God is a healer based off of the way we walk and live our life. So not a lot of people know this, but Josiah's name wasn't actually supposed to be Josiah. When Lyric and I were dating and getting ready to be engaged, you know, we had that little moment on the couch where what are we going to name our kids? And that name actually never came up. We actually had a completely different name lined up. And this is where I thank God that I have a wife who hears from God, who listens and obeys. The Lord had given her this name, Josiah, and we just kind of, you know, like, oh, it's a cute little name. Well, my wife's a researcher. She started researching this name. That's what his name means. Jehovah has healed. I'm like, what? Our son is literally carrying healing. So our legacy is being built off of the obedience she had in that moment. So, I'm sorry, y'all, I'm trying to. But our obedience is growing us. The things we face, they are growing us. And we don't know what life is going to throw at us, but when it happens, what level are you willing to keep walking in obedience? So for us to walk this life of faith and obedience, we do need to check some things in our life. And I got three things that we need to check, that we need to make sure that we are keeping at the forefront of our mind. The first thing is check your trust system. Do you trust God in every area of your life? Does your life reflect it? And here's where I want to get to with that. If you look at your life, what is the most profound, prolific area of your life that you are constantly just worried about? That's probably an area you need to trust God more in. So first one is check your trust system. The second one is check for truth. Are you in the Word? It's hard to walk in surrender if you don't know what you're surrendering to. It's hard to know what you're standing on if you don't know the Word. So we need to make sure that we are in the Word, being obedient to it. And the third thing is check your time. I know that life happens and we can get so distracted with everything going on in life. And while we're being distracted with everything going on in life, we forget to make ourselves available for what God wants to do. And his Spirit, he is constantly speaking. He's constantly moving. But are we so distracted in trying to grab at everything else in life that we completely miss what he's wanting to do? So that's check your trust system, check your truth, check for truth, and check your time. Hebrews 5:8, it says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. And I'm so glad that he suffered the things he did and he walked in obedience, because on the other side of his obedience was me. On the other side of his obedience was us. Who's on the other side of your obedience? A couple weeks ago, we took a family out to the gold mine in Sulphur called China Walk over by Walmart. It's a good place if you haven't been. It's beautiful. But we went to China Walk, and it was just supposed to be a regular family dinner, lunch. And we ended up seeing this family. It was this man and his three sons. It was very evident they were there because they were kind of loud and distracting. But it was okay, everybody was okay with it. It was just like, oh, whatever. But, you know, they sit down and there's this older couple next to him, and they just begin to ask him. He began to notice some things about this family. He's like, y'all's accent's a little different. Y'all sound like y'all from Southeast Louisiana. He's like, yeah, we're from Houma. And I was like, I'm just listening. I don't know if y'all are like this. Sometimes I like to be involved in a conversation, but not necessarily talk. Like, I just want to be present. So they are talking loud, and I love it because I'm eating and listening to what's going on. Come to find out, this family, they're from Houma, and they had just been hit by Ida. So they lost everything, and they were over here just trying to figure out life. But there was something about this family that just captivated me, and it was the fact that this father was. It was such a beautiful, he just loved his sons. And even though they were going through the hardest thing that they probably, especially those kids, have ever gone through, you wouldn't be able to tell because they were just enjoying each other's company and living life with each other. And so I'm just watching this, and I'm telling Lyric, I'm like, bro, I'm about to start bawling in this Chinese restaurant. Like, what is going on? And she's like, bro, she just kept eating her orange chicken or whatever she was eating. But I'm just listening to them, and I just really feel this tug on my heart. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I know God's about to do something. He's wanting to do something. So they ended up finishing their food and leaving. And I just like, I don't even know what happened. I guess I levitated or whatever. But I was out of my seat and out of the door following this man. And I just stop him and I say, hey, look, I'm a local youth pastor here. I heard your story. Look, man, can I just pray for you real quick? Which I'm so thankful God said, like, gave me the words for prayer, because my wallet was not in a place to be just given. So I was like, Lord. So God gave He's like, look, can I pray with y'all? Look. So I prayed with his family. And I don't know what it did I don't know if it meant anything to him or what's going to happen or whatever. And honestly, it doesn't even matter. The fact that I was just obedient to the Spirit in that time, I don't know what's going to happen, because it's the same thing with Stephen. When Stephen was stoned and killed, he didn't even know that his act of obedience scattered other Christians who ended up preaching the gospel in other places where people didn't know the gospel. So Stephen's act of obedience ended up leading others to Christ. So when I'm saying who's on the other side of your obedience, who is on the other side of your obedience. With that being said, you can go ahead and stand up, and I'm gonna pray for us. I just want to encourage you guys, just be open to what the Spirit is wanting to do with you, do in you. And we can continue to walk out this life of faith and obedience. I mean, I know we just did the kingdom mindset. Like, this is a kingdom mindset. This is, it's a transforming thing right here. So with all that said, let's pray. So Lord, I thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you that you are growing our faith in those difficult times, Lord, that we are able to trust in you, lean into you, and press into you, Father, and walk out this life of obedience that you have called us to. Lord, we surrender. We surrender our life. We surrender our anger, our whatever it is, everything. We surrender to you, Father. So God, come and do what only you can do in our life.